Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Les Hang Out, the podcast where my dad says the only way for me to get a trust fund is if I have a job. What even is that?
It's not Les Hang Out, that's for sure.
Sorry, you know what I should have done is my dad says the only way for me to get my trust fund is if I have a podcast.
If you start a podcast, like, yeah.
What even is a podcast?
I don't know. After like 6 years, we still don't know.
So true. The world may never know.
The world may never know.
From the West Coast, I'm Lee Holmes Foster.
And from the East Coast, I'm Ellie Brigida. To those of you who've been with us through this whole journey, thank you as always for listening. If you're a new listener, welcome. We're excited to have you here. Here's what's happening this week.
This week in the Lesdom.
This week in the Lesdom is a place where we can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise. And we want to let you all know that we are having a League of Their Own trivia. We are super excited. It's going to be on November 17th, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, on Zoom. You can get your tickets at bit.ly/alototrivia. And that's A-L-O-T-O. You know how to spell it. If you know a League of Their Own, you know it. So many of you have already gotten your tickets, so we know it's going to be a pretty big event. We are so excited. So get your tickets at bit.ly/alototrivia.
We also want to remind you that in season 6, we are now doing Patreon-only bonus episodes. We have 3 of them out already, and we are going to have our next one coming out at the end of the month, just in time for Thanksgiving. So if you want to join our Patreon and be able to get those episodes, you can get all of the ones that we've released so far. And if you join before November 28th, I think, you'll get our next one. You can do that at bit.ly/lespatreon.
We also want to make sure that you fill out our survey for our Les Hangout retreat. We want to start planning a queer adventure for all of you, and we need your help. So fill that out at bit.ly/lestrip. You can tell us where you want to go. Right now, our top destinations are Greece, Ireland, and I believe coastal Maine is on there, so I'm intrigued by that. You know, Europe and Maine. To be fair, Maine is beautiful.
It is.
And it's an easy trip for me, so I'm down for that. But if you want to go to any of those places, or if you want to go somewhere else, please let us know at bit.ly/lestrip. This is the last week we're going to have that survey out there.
In the greater Les universe, I think some of the gays may have noticed Taylor Swift announced her next tour, her Eras tour, is going to be happening. And I think many of us may have noticed, like, some of the openers, you know, maybe jumped out, like some of the Phoebe Bridgers and Muna and Girl in Red, if any of you listen to Girl in Red, you know, just some
gayest.
Just like, some familiar names that, you know, might have been announced as part of the opening acts for Taylor Swift's next tour. NBD, that's all we're saying. Don't read too much into that.
I'm sure she just picked some names out of a hat.
Sure. Probably just happenstance that Girl in Red is opening for her for like the entirety of Pride Month. I don't know why anyone would read anything into that. That'd be silly.
Is anyone reading into that? Let us know.
Definitely let us know.
Let us know. Also in the greater Les universe, Halloween was last week, which we all know is gay Christmas. Super exciting. Some great costumes out there from the lesbian community. One of my favorites was Hayley Kiyoko as Velma. As we all know, Velma came out. Hayley Kiyoko also played Velma. So perfect.
It's like
merging
a trifecta
of the gay world.
Yeah. Like a trinity from our lesbian Jesus. Amazing.
Yes. Loved it. Also, just in general, which we knew was going to happen, plenty of a League of Their Own costumes out there. You all look amazing. Make sure you bring those costumes to trivia on November 17th. We'll see you there. Also, Chrishell Staus and G-Flip dress as each other, which I feel like is just like the height of lesbian Halloween costumes. I'm just going to dress as you and you dress as me.
Is it, or is Cameron Esposito dressed as a Negroni Spagliato with Prosecco in it, the height of lesbian costumes? Because, I mean, I'm just going to say, like, there's queer costumes and then there's queer costumes, you know?
Yep.
So, speaking of queer costumes.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Negroni Spagliato, also. I think mine and Jana's Halloween costume is one of my favorites. I was Queen Alicent, and she was Princess/Queen Rhaenyra. Debatable where that stands for any of you who watch the show. And it was so fun. I just, like, it was one of our favorite costumes to date.
Incredible. They looked great. Looked real good.
Like, we literally both dyed our hair for it. Yeah. Like, we ordered the costumes, like, perfectly. They were the exact right costumes. Like, we were having fun with it. And we also went into Whole Foods. I mean, we just got snacks for our night, but we were just cracking up, like, being in costume in Whole Foods.
Nice.
It was a wild night for us.
I like how you're like, we dyed our hair. We, like, custom ordered these, like, perfect replica costumes. And I'm like, I ordered a $12 baseball cap off of Amazon. And that is the only thing I added to my wardrobe for my Halloween costume, where I did a deep cut Lupe Garcia, the Spanish striker, and then literally walked around with my kids, have, like, you know, those little like plastic, like, T-ball toddler sets. Yeah, I had the baseball and the baseball bat from that, and then walked around the neighborhood with them to go trick-or-treating.
Did anyone recognize you, like, any of the other lesbians in the neighborhood?
Absolutely not. Not a single person.
I'm sorry, but I do love that you had... I mean, I'm sure if I look in my wardrobe, I feel like last year was, like, super easy. I was like, this is literally just my wardrobe to be Danny and Jamie from Black Mirror. Yeah. Love a good blonde and redhead couple's costume.
I mean, just keep them coming. Made for you.
Keep them coming. But I love that you didn't even have to change your wardrobe. You just were like, I'm gay.
Nobody recognized me, but everyone online has been a big fan. You know? Oh, yeah. That's what matters.
I mean, it is perfectly accurate for only buying one thing.
Yes.
So very impressed with you.
Great.
That's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee. And we are so excited to bring you episode 7 of season 6, Baby, It's Joel Outside. And we have a very special guest here today. We are joined by Juliana Joel, who is a trans bilingual Puerto Rican actress who will soon be seen recurring on Showtime's highly anticipated American Gigolo and has been turning heads as Disney Channel's first trans character on Raven's Home. On the big screen, you'll also see her in Absolute Dominion for Netflix Blumhouse later this year. And prior to that, she was selected among hundreds of hopefuls as part of the ensemble of ABC Disney's Television Discovers Showcase 2021. Juliana, thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh, those intros.
What a bio.
You're so busy and doing everything.
You all win for best intro out of all the interviews I've been doing. Those are very clever.
That is what we pride ourselves on. Well, Lee in particular is very punny.
Listen, we're in season 6 now. We decided way back, I can't even say way back in season 1, way back in the day when Ellie and I were just like dreaming up, let's have a podcast. We somehow landed on Lesbian Blues Clues as the vibe of how we were going to name everything. And all I have to say is 6 seasons later,
we're consistent.
I am both filled with regrets and also I still kind of love it. But yeah, I'm like trying to come up with, like, what's our next stupid punny title?
I mean, Lesbian Blues Clues. I'm intrigued now.
I mean, like, you know, most lesbians dress like Steve from Blues Clues, so, like, it works.
So true.
Okay, I was trying to think of what the main inspiration for that was.
Yeah, you know, like, yes, I'm literally wearing a striped something.
You
right
honestly
now,
like, are. You really are.
And if my, like, pattern was on Lee's shirt, that's it. Yeah.
Ellie, if you had, like, a really big big ring notepad, do you have, like, a notepad lying around? Well, and a giant pencil.
I'm like, this is a visual gag for podcast, so it's not really gonna. But I do have a notebook.
Great. Quick, write some clues.
Is it sad that I still remember the We Just Got a Letter song from Blues Clues?
No.
Not unless you sing it.
Sing it
right now.
Absolutely not.
It was worth a try, though, right?
The songs in Blue's Clues were awesome. I was like, but I also, in my mind, I literally just started going back, 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 back. And I was like, that's from Dora the Explorer. Mm-hmm. But also, the music on that show slaps.
Wow, Ellie, our 5-year-old audience is going to be like, really offended with you right now. How dare you? How dare you?
No, all the 5-year-old lesbians in the audience, is that what you're saying, Lee?
Yes. Yes. Our younger demographic listeners are really going to, they're never going to forgive you.
What gel am I on?
Podcasts are historically listened to by 5-year-olds.
Even my kids don't listen to my podcast yet. Listen.
Yes. But we're not, this is going to be a chaos episode. I can't wait. We are not here to talk about Blue's Clues, Dora the Explorer, any of these other random things that have happened in the first 15 minutes of this episode. We are here to talk to you, Juliana. So talk to us a bit. The biggest thing and the most exciting thing that you've been doing recently, at least for us in terms of representation, is you are playing Nikki on Raven's Home, which is the first trans character on a Disney show, correct?
Yeah, it's the first live-action trans character, first out trans actor to be on Disney Channel, which to me is still insane to hear those words, let alone speak them, and realize that it's me. People always ask me, like, what does it feel like? And I'm like, I don't know. I really don't know what it feels like. It's been crazy in every way imaginable, both for me professionally as well as personally. As a human being, you know, we all dream, we all have dreams. At least I hope we all do. So to think back of my younger self, who I was a That's So Raven fanatic. Like, I would get out of school and I would rush home to watch That's So Raven. Raven was my best friend in my mind for years. She didn't know it, but homegirl and I were best friends. And I just loved that show. And I also acknowledged back then how big that show was to have someone like Raven, African-American, who also was an image for girls who don't fit the like Barbie doll model. Because, you know, usually Disney, it's like perfect pretty princess. And so for me as a kid to be so obsessed with that show, and to dream of being an actor one day, not knowing that it was possible for me, because I come from a very humble Puerto Rican family. I always thought that you had to be born into the entertainment industry to be in it, because there was no one around me who was doing it. And at the same time, I was, you know, growing up in Tampa, Florida, which we all know Florida is very problematic.
So, don't know what you're talking about. Not no familiar. Idea. We only hear great things about the state.
Oh yeah, for sure. It was not a very inspiring or supportive environment for a little queer kid, Latino kid, who wanted to be in Hollywood and be on TV. And, you know, I would always tell myself, well, you're an actor now, but you're not going to be on Disney because you're too old. Like, they only hire, like, you know, like 12, 11, 10-year-olds.
Be honest, you were still practicing the little making the mouse head with the...
Oh, the wand?
Yeah, so, right? You were still practicing that,
I'm
right?
Juliana Jones, like, you gotta keep watching the Disney Channel.
Yeah.
Scribble.
You got to keep those skills tight. Like, you got to still practice.
I absolutely do still practice. I'm still waiting for that moment.
Okay.
But I'm ready.
We're manifesting.
I have the wand ready. I'm ready. I have the outfit picked out. I don't know if Disney will approve it, but I am ready for that moment.
Wait, so what is the outfit?
I don't want to ruin it.
All right.
We approve the outfit.
Imagine what you think this outfit is. Let us know.
This should motivate listeners to advocate for me and write Disney and have them have Juliana have a wand moment. Like, sure, being the first trans actor on Disney Channel is cool and everything, but it's not going to be solidified until she has her wand moment.
Yes. Let's start a campaign. This is it. Right now, this campaign is starting, and Disney cannot not listen.
We need a hashtag. What's our hashtag? Okay. Hashtag give Nikki a wand. I'm not clever right now.
Okay, great. I'll take it. Give Nikki a wand.
Yeah, it's close enough. Close enough. Yeah, it'll work.
So, yeah, so to, you know, dream of being an actor, dream of being on Disney, and then telling myself, well, you're too old. And even if you weren't too old, if you were young enough to be on Disney, you're trans. When have you ever seen a trans person or character on Disney Channel? You know, before Nikki, there's an animated series called Owl House that has a non-binary character. But I've never seen like a live action, like actual trans person on TV playing an out trans role on Disney. So never, honestly, I was like, okay, this isn't ever going to happen. And then I get the call. I wish the call would have been like, you're Nikki, you're getting the job. But no, they did not write it with me in mind. Although I'd like to think that they did without me knowing. But yeah, it was typical, like typical Hollywood. You get the audition, which said out trans character, we want an authentic, a real life trans person to play this role. So right off the bat, I was like, oh, at least they're doing that right. Like, even if I don't get the role, at least I know whoever does get it, we're going to be good. Because we all know how it is, not just Disney, but a lot of production companies like to not hire actual trans actors to portray our own lives. That's another rabbit hole we can get into later. And then I had a live Zoom audition, thanks to COVID. You know, we haven't done in-person auditions in a while. And y'all, I was so excited for this. I went to Nordstrom Rack and I bought the girliest, pinkest dress I could find that I would never wear in my personal life. But I knew that this was the character. This was Nikki. And for those who haven't watched Raven's Home and seen Nikki, she's described as this early 2000s celebutante, like very Paris Hilton, Nicole Richie vibes, has never lifted a finger in her life, just very aloof, means well, but not the brightest girl. So I was like, okay, I need to look the part. So I go to Nordstrom Rack and I buy this pink dress. And I put it on. The second I turn on the live Zoom audition with the casting director, she goes, that's her, that's Nikki, that's the character. And I'm like, okay, no pressure. Now I gotta like really act it well. Did it, went great. And then she goes, I love what you're wearing. I wanna see the rest of it. Not knowing that under the dress, I'm wearing these like horrific sweatpants that you would never leave your house in because you're just home. With like socks that don't match. And I was just like a mess under. Mind you, I'm also on my like self-tape setup, which is a mess itself. And I have like things all over the floor. And I'm like, how am I gonna show her my outfit without looking like a psycho? And I was like, okay, give me like 2 seconds. And I'm like halfway pulling them down. And she's like, she kind of like rushed me. So I was just like, okay. And I took my computer and I panned it down and I showed her the rest of my dress with my sweatpants like halfway down, which you couldn't see. They were halfway down. Not the purpose of this story, but something people don't know about that little moment. And that same week, I got the call that I was Nikki. And I immediately just like went into shock. I didn't cry then. My first time crying was the first day I went to set and had the table read, which was my first time meeting everybody. That for me was like, I vividly remember every single detail, what I was wearing, what Raven was wearing. And I've never been so scared in my life. But yeah, it's been insane. It's been a dream come true. And I'm also just so grateful to the showrunners of the show who were supportive of bringing in a trans character, because without the showrunners approving these things, like it wouldn't happen. I'm grateful to Raven. You know, Raven's one of the executive producers now. She had to be the ones to approve me being cast. And I'm extremely grateful to Nori Reed, who is probably one of my favorite comedians, who's one of the writers on Raven's Home. She's out, she's trans. She's amazing. She created Nikki. So if it wasn't for Nori being in the writer's room and speaking up and pitching a trans character, I wouldn't be here. So it all comes back to Nori Reed. So I always have to give her props whenever someone asks me about Raven's Home.
Well, and we want to talk about that too, like the importance of representation, both like in front of and behind the camera as well. But real quick, I have like a very important question, which is, did you get to tell Raven that you'd been best friends since you were a child? Because like, she's psychic. She might have known.
She might have known. I think she did.
You don't know.
So real story, like real, real. Yes and no. I told her the story on our second week together, our second episode. It was one of our shoot dates because, as you know, Raven's Home is a sitcom. It's basically like live theater. Like, it's Monday morning table read. Tuesday, you rehearse with rewrites. Wednesday, you rehearse with rewrites. Thursday, Friday, you tape. So for every episode, you know, we're together that entire week. And my first week, I'm scared shitless. It's my first sitcom. I know how to act, but you know, a sitcom is very specific in terms of how everything is done. You know, the cameras don't follow you. You're not mic'd. You have to project, like all these things. And I'm in the room with like my childhood dream person. Like, this is my childhood best friend. This is a version of the show I always dreamed of being on. And I'm doing it on the season where we're using like the original set, like the chill grill, and Raven's dad is in it, and Raven's mom came back. Like, it's Adrian Bylon's in it, who plays Alana, who was in the original That's a Raven. So I was just so overwhelmed that first week of not messing up. There's so much pressure when you're doing a sitcom because you have to deliver from the second you're doing a table read. Like, when you sit down and read through that episode for the first time casually, it's not even casual. Like, the entire team is watching you. And if you don't deliver a line the way it's written, if you're not selling the joke, they go and rewrite it. So it's a lot of pressure. Wow. And if, you know, if that happens too often, then that's when people get recast. So, because it's like, this person's not delivering. Like, they're not able to deliver the jokes and be funny. So it's a lot of pressure. But back to your question, I was, you know, scared shitless that entire week, my first week. And I wanted to be professional. I didn't want to bombard Raven. And, you know, so that first week, I really left it up to her how much we interacted. Because, again, she's also an executive producer. She's overseeing things. It's her name on the show. She's been doing this for years. She's used to new actors coming in and out. She's also probably used to people trying to use her. And I wanted to do a good job, and I wanted her to see that I was professional. That was like my most important thing.
Yeah.
Our second week is when she kind of then gave me the green light to like have fun with her and joke, which is when we really started to bond and we truly have more fun in between, like on rehearsals and in between takes, and we do like filming it. I mean, filming it is fun, but Raven's just hilarious 24/7. And so when I told her about my childhood and how life-changing it was for me to be there, there's an episode where Raven and I are wearing disguises. We're wearing these hideous orange, hot, like the worst orange you've ever seen in your life, these orange bobs. And we're in these like trench coats, like Carmen Sandiego vibes, like in disguise. And we go to do our COVID test. This is like the day we're shooting. We go to do our COVID test because we have to do COVID tests. And literally, we're just walking in these orange wigs and these costumes. And I'm like, hey, can I talk to you for a second? She's like, yeah, what's up? And I gave her the whole story. The whole story. And the whole time, I'm trying not to like cry. And I'm like, I was like, girl, for real, you were my best friend in my mind for years. And I told her, I just said, I'm beyond thankful for the opportunity. And I explained, I know I shared with her how much it means to me to not only be on a version of my favorite childhood show, but I get to do it authentically as myself. I'm not pretending to be anybody else. And my character is trans, which is awesome. And her response, I was expecting this, like, I don't know, like a hug and like, of course, and all this stuff. And her response was like, girl, you got this because you're talented. Like, that was it. And I was like, okay, that was a little underwhelming, but I'll take it. No, but she's great. Raven is truly, truly great.
Amazing.
I love to. I did watch that episode. I feel like that, like, how was that for you? Because I'm a huge That's So Raven fan as well. And I feel like that's a big thing of the show is, like, all the ridiculous costumes that Raven and Chelsea used to, like, get up to crazy shit. And then, like, you get to be, like, doing that ridiculous shit with Raven. Like, that also must be so fun.
Honestly, that's the best part. Anytime I get a new script, the first thing I do is just, like, really skim it really fast to see if I get to wear anything, like, super fun. Mm-hmm. And when I read that episode and I knew I was going to get to wear a disguise with Raven, I was like, okay, I made it. Like, this is real That's So Raven. Like, if you get to wear a disguise, you made it. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's not easy. Like, that wig, you think I just plopped it on, but no, like, it was, like, 2 hours of me in the chair, like, getting my hair, like, pinned a certain way, and then wearing the wig. And also, what a lot of people don't, actually, nobody knows this, that episode, without me knowing, of course, at the time, that episode, I had COVID.
Oh, my God.
And I did not know. I did not find out until that night I get home, and Disney calls me, and they're like, you have COVID. Like, you're positive. And I was like, oh,
my God.
No wonder.
Oh, my God.
No wonder my energy was so low. I mean, I wasn't feeling sick. Obviously, if I was feeling sick, I would not have shown up to work. Anyway, so just a little behind the scenes story.
Behind the scenes.
You heard it here first.
COVID scoop. Yes. There must be, you know what's crazy, though? Is like, there must be so many episodes of things these days where that's the case. Because it's like, there's so much testing in hot. Like, I feel like Hollywood's one of the few places that's still...
COVID protocol on these sets is no joke. Like, from the second we step onto the studio lot, like, we have to wear masks. Like, all of our rehearsals, we're wearing masks, which makes it very difficult because this is a comedic show and you don't get to see what people are really doing or how they're expressing their face until the day of taping. So you don't even really know if it's working or not because we're masked the entire time. But yeah, shout out to our COVID team. They're amazing. They keep us all safe. But I unfortunately, and not knowing, had COVID that episode. And then Disney called me and they're like, we need to do contact tracing. Who have you been? I'm like, I just spent 12 hours on set breathing into Raven's face. So you might want to call her. And also, don't tell her it was me because I don't want her to hate me.
You're like, start with number one, my bestie.
Start with my best friend. But luckily, nobody got it. I did not get anybody sick. Anyway, that's not the point of the story.
Is that okay? But I'm curious now because you're in those episodes and then there's sort of like a gap, right? Until Nikki comes back. Is that part of it or was that like already planned out?
No. That had nothing to do with me.
Okay.
The day I found out I had it was actually my last day taping. I did my first two episodes like back to back. Then I had to leave to do the film for Netflix in Nevada. And then I came back and did the rest of my episodes. So it was like, I did my episode, got sick, took a break, went and did the film, came back and finished Raven's Home.
I mean, all in all, though, like, great timing.
Great timing.
great timing. Choice. Good choice. You know, as far as choices that come with, getting COVID, good timing. And so then you got to come back. And those are the episodes that we will talk a little bit about, even though Ellie and I haven't gotten to see them yet because they haven't. I guess they're up on. Well, of course, we're recording a little in advance, everyone. So they will be long out by the time this releases. Is that right? Wait, you just went over, Ellie, and I've already
one
forgotten.
Of the episodes will be out by the time this, like, the episode where they explicitly talk about Nikki being trans, which we would love for you to talk about. Like, how was filming that episode?
Absolutely. So, like you said, you know, the first episodes, I don't say I'm trans. I kind of love that about Nikki and love that Disney is the team at Raven's Home kind of did it this way where it's, and even when it does get brought up, it's not because it's an issue. So, like, I'll tell you how it happens, since by the time this airs, everybody will have seen it. So how it happened was, you know, the week before, I had just finished rehearsal with Raven, and the showrunners came up to me and they said, hey, can you come sit with us and talk to us? And I was like, oh, shit. I'm getting fired.
Yeah, that's like the we need to talk kind literally, of vibe that you're literally. Like,
And it, sure. it never happened. Like, obviously, like, I've had chats with the showrunners, but they're, like, casual. It's not, like, coming up to me and, like, we need to talk. So I was like, oh, shit, I'm being recast. I failed. But luckily, that wasn't the case. We sat down, and they said, this is Scott Thomas and Jed Ellenoff, who are the showrunners, and I have to give them props for handling it this way. They sat me down and they said, hey, Nikki is going to disclose that she's trans in one of the upcoming episodes. First of all, we want to get your feedback on if you're comfortable with that, which right off the bat, I was like, okay, this is a good start.
Yeah.
Because, you know, most productions would be like, no, this is what you're doing. If you want to play the role, you have to do this. But they asked me, they were like, hey, are you comfortable with this? And I was like, well, how is it being written? And they sent me the script in advance, like earlier than usual, so I could read it. And I read it, and it was perfect. Again, that was all Nori's doing. Mm-hmm. And that's how I already kind of knew I'd be happy with it, and I would be safe because I knew I had Nori writing it. She didn't write that episode, but she helped write that bit because it was so important, obviously, for her to also have a voice in it. And it is genius because it's so simple. And how it happens, spoiler alert, if you don't want to know before seeing it, how it happens is Raven and I are going to Donna Cabana's Fashion Factory. If you watch That's a Raven, you know who Donna Cabana is. She is back on Raven's Home. She is like Raven's fashion nemesis, basically. We're going to Donna Cabana's fashion factory, and I am excited because I love fashion. Nikki loves fashion, and I stop Raven, and I say, hey, Raven, I really want to go with you, but I'm nervous. Do you think people will know that I'm different? By the way, I'm like paraphrasing because it's been so long, I don't remember the exact words. And Raven says something along the lines of, oh, I know what this is. You know, you're not different because you're transgender. That actually makes you amazing and beautiful. And, you know, she gives that little sentence. And the whole time I'm just like deadpan staring at her, like, what are you talking about? And then my response is literally, no, I'm not different because I'm trans. I'm different because I'm an heiress. And I don't want people to think that I'm not better than them. That is literally how I disclose being trans on Disney Channel.
Incredible.
So yeah, so we don't make it a big deal. I don't know if in future episodes they will, you know, dive into it more. But in my personal opinion, I thought this was perfect because the whole point of seeing Nikki on the show is for people to see that we are human. We live normal, everyday lives. I mean, not all of us are heiresses and have... you know, thousands of dollars in a trust fund like Nikki does. But to see a trans character who is just being herself, living her life, living her fabulous fantasy life, and to see that on the show, you know, even the way Raven approaches it is like, girl, like, no, like, you're amazing, you're beautiful. It, to me, it was perfect. And I'm really grateful, A, that they approached me first to kind of clear it with me first, because it made me feel safe, which has been amazing on the show, to feel like you're actually welcomed and supported. Because let's be real, Disney has not always been perfect. There was the whole Don't Say Gay drama. I'm sure all the reps at Disney right now are like clenching their pearls, sweating as to what I'm about to say.
Yeah, all the Disney reps who are also big fans of our show, just like our 5-year-old audience. Listen, you know,
Disney has eyes and ears everywhere. Let me tell you.
Listen to the Disney rep assigned to our podcast. Hey.
Hey, girl. Hey. Hey, boy. Hey. Hey, yes. Hey. Yeah, so Disney has not always been great. I mean, obviously, like, it took this long to get a trans person on Disney Channel. Not knocking you, Disney. Don't fire me. I still love you. I support you. I'm very proud of you. But, you know, Nikki came like a few months after that whole drama with the Don't Say Gay.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hello, my name is Alison Larkin, and I'm a writer, comedian, and narrator and host of the Jane Austen podcast. This podcast brings Jane Austen's stories to the 21st century, along with commentary from me and conversations with fascinating people who all share a love of Jane Austen. And of course, we had to start with none other than Pride and Prejudice. So join me as we embark on a journey through some of the most wonderful stories I know. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
So when I went in, you know, to go for like my first week, part of what made me so nervous and scared and like got into my head was I didn't know how people were truly going to react towards me being there. Like, were people going to treat me like you're just a tick in a box that we have to tick and we don't really want you here, but we just have to do this for show? Or are they going to treat me like, no, like, we are, like, honored to have you here and so grateful? Luckily, it was that. They were so excited to have me there, and they made me feel safe from the get-go. And you know, Raven, who's very outspoken and a big part of our rainbow community. And also, I don't know if a lot of people notice, not that this is like a big deal, but it is for me when I walked on the set first time. If you watch the scenes with the chill girl, there is a queer pride flag, like sticker, like right underneath the chill girl sign on the chill girl door. And when onto set and saw that, I was like, that was not on That's So Raven.
Definitely not.
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
No, it should have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then another fun little story that people don't know is that the cast didn't know there was going to be a trans character or actor until I opened my mouth and read the lines in the first table read. And I felt everybody's eyes just like shoot towards me, and they were like dead staring at me. And I'm like, y'all okay? What's happening? Yeah, nobody knew.
That's incredible.
And I didn't know that until I was in one of the dressing rooms with one of the actors, Felix, and some of the other people who plays Neil. And they're like, wait, Nikki's trans? And I was like, yes. And they're like, we had no idea. I was like, surprise. Because again, we didn't make it a thing. Obviously, now the world knows Nikki is trans. And that has been quite interesting. A lot of obviously amazing love, also a lot of hate, as you can imagine, with it being a show on Disney Channel, which so many conservative people watch, so many parents who feel a certain way about their children being exposed to things, which I don't know what we're exposing them to, like
a
girl being a horrible assistant, like. And having fun and wearing ugly orange wigs.
Listen, as a parent, can I just say that by far the most offensive thing to me that my kids might pick up from Nikki is work ethic. Far more than anything else, like gender identity. Who fucking cares, man?
Yeah, she's not the most gifted person, but she ends up saving the day.
Sure. But if parents wanted to like pick it outside Disney and be like, you know, Nikki's bad at her job, like, fine. Fair play. Fair play to you guys, yeah. You know?
But every time I get those messages, like, I'm never letting my kids watch Disney Channel again. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And you know what's so funny, though? Because, I mean, like, sure, listen. I feel like everyone, all of our listeners, I'm sure, understand the concept of, like, yeah, Disney's not had a spectacular track record. That doesn't mean we're not going to be, like, clap, golf clap, congrats when you get it right, because it's important to recognize when you are getting it right, especially when you have a history of not always getting it right. And so that's why it's like, because, you know, I feel like we're having a similar conversation right now about this as we are. And what I love is like this is season 6, right? So in our 6th season of our podcast right now, we're 7 episodes in. 2 of those episodes so far have been talking about specifically trans rep featuring trans actors in shows that are like young adult, like kids shows. And one of them is this, and the other one is Dead End Paranormal Park on Netflix. And I mean, Netflix also historically done fucked up a lot with with queer and trans rep, and like stop canceling all our fucking shows, Netflix. But that's not the point I'm getting at. I'm just gonna swallow my feelings about it. My point I'm getting at is that it's I love that there is like you can still feel sort of a shift happening, even though it's slow and it might not be enough. But like I love that the shift is happening specifically with shows for like kids, younger audiences. And like, yes, I certainly, you know, like we are well aware of the position that that's gonna put like people like the trailblaze, like people like you who are out there like blazing this trail for everyone else, you know. And like it's the dual side of that role, sure, of like you get to be the first, but that also means you're the first and you're gonna like take that brunt of that first wave of pushback against it. Also, it will be less the next time. And it's like the reality is like, yeah, you're going to get that pushback from parents, because the truth of the matter is that when kids grow up watching this stuff, it is going to change their little minds into realizing that this is not a big thing. Like that's exactly what I was just saying, is like you're exposing them to what? People? Other people? How dare you? Like you monsters, right? But like that's what they're gonna see growing up, is like this is not a thing. It doesn't have to be a thing. And it's just like as much as I like we'll talk about the both sides of that, sure, but like it's just like for me as a parent to be like, yes, oh my god, like it's gonna be so weird to watch the media landscape that my kids are gonna grow up with compared to like the media landscape we grew up with, where like exactly what you were saying, like, you know, yeah, when I was a kid watching That's So Raven, like would never even have like entered the thought process of my mind to be like, wow, imagine seeing a trans character on this show, or like a gay character on this show, like just... Yeah. No, you were like, well, it's a Disney Channel show. Like, that's silly.
Yeah, and that's the... Yes. Okay, so two things.
Sorry, I just said so many things at you, I know.
Yeah, two things. Absolutely, which is why I don't let it bother me. Like, my favorite... I don't remember who it was. My favorite news headline was like, Disney's new degenerate Juliana. I'm like, wow.
Oh my god.
Wait, I cannot.
Who was it? And can we? We'll
no,
find.
No, no,
we'll
no. Find. Laugh,
also,
laugh,
no, but also, laugh. No, but you need to make shirts that say "Degenerate Juliana." And
stuff. Honestly, I'm gonna make a T-shirt out of it.
Please.
I should make a T-shirt out of it. But it doesn't.
No, wait.
Me.
Sorry. Can you make a T-shirt that says "Disney Channel's number one degenerate"?
Yes.
Please.
I really will. It doesn't bother me ever, because I'm an evolved human being. Like, I've been through so much shit to be who I am, and I truly understand humanity and people walking in their truth, you know? And for me, the important thing is the kid watching the show who mm-hmm. is going to feel like their life is even possible just because they saw a small character like Nikki. Because for me, had I had that growing up, my life would be so different.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what kills me is, you know, like you talked so much at the top of this about like, oh my God, I grew up like Raven was my best friend. Like, I was obsessed with this show and I never could have imagined myself here. And like, because it's the thing that kills me all the time now is to know how so many of us grew up and what our experience of watching these shows was and the, like, you know, just non-existent representation that we had. And I still do it. Like, even I was listening to an episode that we recorded a little bit ago in our bookend, and like we talk about like, oh, here's like, you know, gay stuff happening in the world, but where we talked to Ellie about like how Peppa Pig introduced like two new characters that are like gay polar bear moms or something, and I was just like, man, like it is so wild to like have kids who are watching, yeah, like kid, like Peppa Pig. I'm like, you could not gear that towards younger children, you know? I'm like, my kids are like 3 and 4 years old and they're gonna get to watch shows where it's just like, oh, and here's so-and-so and they're two moms and like, what's the big deal, you know? And I'm just like, wow. Like, sometimes I still, you just have those moments where you're like, wow, like there are gonna be kids who grow up where like Raven's home is their That's So Raven, and they're just gonna get to see like a trans character, like it's like NBD.
And they're going to be like, Nikki is my imaginary best friend.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I really can't wait for that moment.
But it's amazing, right? Like, it's amazing.
It really is amazing, which is what just baffles me with like these parents who get so over themselves with knowing that I'm on the show. It's like, Nikki isn't on the show telling kids how to transition and take mm-hmm. hormones and all of those things.
Yeah.
Nikki is purely existing. All Nikki is showing the world is that there are people like her in the world. Mm-hmm. So for you to get so upset that your kid is seeing what they're going to see growing up, they're going to have trans classmates, they're going to have trans teachers, they're going to have trans boyfriends and girlfriends. They might be trans themselves. Like, seeing Nikki is not going to force your child to transition. It's just showing them that trans people exist in the world.
And here's what I think is the funniest thing, especially when you do, like when shows do like kind of nail it in ways where it's like, even without having seen the episode where like, you know, Nikki sort of like officially comes out as trans canonically yet, the reason that I already know that it's just like, it's gonna have nailed it, even if they had like completely dropped the ball on the coming out dialogue, like the reason that it still did something right is that these parents didn't care until that episode. And you know what? Nikki was just as trans the first two episodes. And like, here's the thing that like, as soon as you cast your representation authentically, you automatically get that win, right? Because it's like, listen, if Nikki didn't bother you when she was just being like a ditzy bat at her job, like airhead in the first two episodes, she was trans then too. And if it wasn't a big deal then, it's equally not a big deal now that she said it. It doesn't matter.
You know what's going to piss them off even more? Which, you guys are the first to hear this.
Oh my God, an exclusive. We love it.
Yes, please.
Nikki is officially back in season 6 of Raven's Home.
Yes!
We just
and of course renewed. She's back with tips on how to transition. I mean, obviously.
Obviously, get your notepads ready. I'm going to teach you about HRT.
Kelly, get the big notepad ready.
we just got officially renewed for season 6, like, I don't know, like a month or two ago. But I literally did not find out I was a part of season 6 up until like 2 days ago. So
that
we
is
love
so
an exclusive.
Exciting.
That's incredible.
Very exciting. I know we've been talking about this, but I want to specifically talk about just the point of Nikki being a character who lives in this world and also experiences joy. Like, we have seen, we talk about this on our show constantly, but like, there's a huge history of LGBTQ rep that is depressing as hell, right? Is like, if you are a member of the community, here's the life you can expect to live, and it's going to be depressing and horrible, and like, you will be persecuted because of it. And like, of course, that still very much exists.
Here's
in
your
old
timey early death. Yeah, okay.
But I think like, the more we see that it's possible to be trans and live a happy life. That in itself is so important. So to have a trans character on like a comedy, on a sitcom, I feel like is also a huge win. Like the particular way that we have Nikki portrayed.
It definitely is, because like you said, you know, in the past, you know, the majority of our representation when it comes to, you know, trans women specifically is we're the corpse on Law and Order SVU, we're the junkie, we're the prostitute, we're the murder victim. Mm-hmm. We get, you know, thrown on the streets by our families, we're homeless, we have to sell our bodies. Those, which, yes, a lot of those stories are very real for our community, but those stories will never change in real life until we change them in media.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what I mean by that is the reality is that the majority of the people on this planet do not know, have never met a trans person, let alone knows one personally. So how they're going to base their views, like most people do in this world, is by what they see in media. And to be a community, to be trans in a world where, you know, when we're living in a world where we have lawmakers telling us we don't deserve basic human rights, and you add that to media not representing us positively or barely at all, how else do you think people are going to form their opinions towards us and treat us? Mm-hmm. You know, I always explain it in the way of like the Cosby Show. Before the Cosby Show, the majority of the world had not ever seen a Black family living a normal, successful life where the dad is a doctor, the wife is a lawyer, or I don't remember what her job was. And they're living in this beautiful house and have the kids that go to college. Like up until that point, nobody saw that on TV. And it shifted people's ideas and views of the Black family. It's the same thing with us. Until we start seeing positive representation of trans people, which is why it matters, the societal shift is not going to happen. Because unfortunately, that's where we put all our eggs in, is TV. We have TV tell us how to treat people. I've never understood that, but it's the truth. And for us, as exhausting as it is, and on the flip side of that, these dark stories we see are also a reality of our experience, mm-hmm. of trans people having to, you know, sell their bodies in order to survive, trans people being abused, trans people being murdered. Those are all real. And those stories should be told too. But we need to get to a place where it's kind of even so mm-hmm. that the dark stories won't matter as much, because there's so many positive stories as well, because we're human. I'm not saying that every single role that's, you know, written from now on needs to be absolutely perfect for a trans person. No, because we go through what everybody else goes through. But mm-hmm. we need to get to a point where we can play the dark roles without having to worry about it affecting our personal lives so much.
But you know what's great about Nikki too is like, because it's another thing that I feel like you hear so often, just you know, as like one of those like, oh, the devil's advocate-y pushback, you know, and it's like, because we constantly say that we're like, hey, you know, please stop writing like queer characters who like just get killed off or like have mm-hmm. these sad depressing lives or whatever. And so I feel like it's also this thing where people are always like, oh, you know, like the minority communities and like they can't be the butt of the joke and the whatever, and like you can't like make fun. And it's like, that's absolutely not true. Like Nikki is a ridiculous character in so many ways, you know, and it's like, but what's ridiculous about her isn't that she's trans, and like that's the thing, you know, is like, that's the piece that people miss so often, where it's like, yeah, absolutely. Just like,
yeah,
write them like you would write any other character. Yeah. Like
Nikki is the butt of the joke all the time.
Yes, exactly.
But it's because she sucks at her job. Not because of who she is.
Exactly. And it's like, because the thing is, if you did it the other way around, it would look so insane. right? Like, can you imagine if you wrote a character where you were just like, the punchline of every joke is like, because they're straight, wah, wah, and you're like, what? Like, what are you even talking about? Like, yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. That's bad. But like, you can make your characters, like, everything doesn't always have to be like, and they are a sparkling sunshine human being who's good at everything and the best in every way possible, and nothing bad ever happens to them. Like, no, it doesn't have to be that. Like, your character can be vapid, terrible at their job, like, they can be all sorts of stuff, and like, and you can write characters where bad things happen to them, sure, like that, you know, like, because we talk about that all the time, is like, you can have things happen to your characters where you're like, oh no, like, you don't have a happy ending, like, it's fine, we're not going to complain every time, as long as it's not just like, well, it was the 1800s and you were a lesbian so you died, like,
yep,
what, no, don't do that. Like, yeah, write trans characters who are the worst employee you've ever hired, and or not hired, you know, whatever, like, yeah, the worst employee who showed up and happened to not be a puppet, whatever.
Yeah,
and we also need to see trans character or trans actors playing cis characters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where's that mm-hmm. at?
Yes.
97% of my auditions are for cis characters.
Yeah,
but it's so difficult to book a cis role as a trans person.
But like, your agent is sending you cis roles, so like, hopefully,
yeah,
there's a shifting tide of like, that this is going to be more prevalent.
Yeah, it's just, it's bizarre what you hear behind the doors in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
I've had auditions for trans characters where I've been told, you don't look trans enough to play this role.
Oh my god.
Oh, come on.
And I'm like, excuse me? What do you want me to look like? But I know what they're saying.
Yeah. In this, the year of our Lord, 2022. Like,
yeah. I know what they're saying. They're saying, we want to hire a man in a wig, but we know we'll get canceled if we hire a man in a wig, because what we really want is to create this sort of like shock around the character. But it irks me when I hear that.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, I'll audition for some cis roles and it's, but you're trans. And I'm like, and I'm an actor.
Yeah. Especially since like Hollywood has been casting cis people in trans roles forever.
Okay. You didn't have an issue with that.
Like,
you gave them Academy yeah. Awards mm-hmm. for doing that.
Yes. It's so funny because we literally, so we do like one of our recurring segments that we do on the show is, we talk about, like, we call them Les Essentials, and they're, like, movies that are actually queer. And we just, a couple episodes back, we just did one, and we did sort of, like, a throwback, like, queer movie, and we watched and talked about Better Than Chocolate. And I don't know if you've seen Better Than Chocolate, but mm-hmm. it does have a trans woman character who's played by a cis man. And, like, and, you know, it was a movie that came out in, what, like, 99, Ellie? Like, when did that? You know, yeah, I mean, yeah. So it was dated in a lot of ways. There's a lot of it that still holds up. They actually treated the character like extremely well. I mean, it was more like kind of indie film. So like the character was really well written and there were a lot of things that were done super well. But we're like, but it was 1999 and like that's still what you were going to get was a dude in a wig. Right. And like, and it's just so sad because we just talked about it when we were doing that movie where we were like, yeah, I mean, like you can't do that now. Like I get that was, you know, 20 something odd years ago that you're just like, okay, I mean that's the best you could hope for at the time, honestly, was like a well-treated character that was cast badly, but like you can't do that now. But it's like, okay, but they still are but they yeah. still are looking for that. And because so many, you know, like you're still dealing with a whole generation of like, you know, execs and whatever who like that's what they imagine in their heads, you know, like that's what they think this is gonna look like, and you're like, oh, people just like look out, literally just open your door. Yeah. Open your door and look outside, like that's not the world anymore, you know. And it's just like, it's so sad, and you kind of want to like beat them over the head with it. But I think that's why it's so great to know that like, yeah, people are going to be growing up with such different representation and such different like opportunities, even if it's not everywhere, even if it's not like every show and it's not everybody getting it right all of the time. It's just like, I don't know. It's like sometimes you just want to be like, sigh, yay. You know, yeah. It's like both of them at the same time is sort of where I'm at sometimes with it. But that's why it makes me so happy, because like, to be honest, you know, we were just saying like the episode where Nikki comes out, like we hadn't seen it yet because it hasn't. I think you said it's out on Disney Plus, but it's not out on cable yet. So yeah, it's like, to me it was so fun to just be like, oh, so cool, like here's a character who's like trans, played by a trans actress, and like it's not even worth mentioning. You know, I'm like, you haven't even come out and said it, and like honestly, if you never had, I'm still cool with it. Like obviously it's cool that you did, and like I'm super excited to watch that that episode too, but it's like either way it just doesn't matter, because like it's just that like the rep is still there, and it's still authentic, and it's still real. And it's still there for kids to see it. And it's all good.
I totally agree. And I would have been completely fine if Nikki didn't say she was trans. There's this weird thing happening in our community where, I get it. Some people like need like for things specifically to be seen and be said and happen. But I remember when Nikki first was announced and all the press came out, and people watched the first episode, there were like so many people livid that she didn't talk about being trans, that she never said it. And I was like, I have to say it for it to be real, for me to be real. Like what? Like it's a weird, I don't know what that is. I can't really speak to it. It's a pocket of our community that I think wants extreme representation. I totally get it, and I understand it in some ways, but when I read all those comments, I was just like, guys, like, first of all, it was her first episode, like, give her a minute.
Yeah.
Do you just walk into a room and say, hi, I'm Juliana, I'm trans? No. And if you do, good for you, but that's not what I do.
Yeah.
Because it's not my full identity. Like, it's just a part of my story. But when I read all those comments, I was like, Jesus, you can't win. Like...
Yeah, I mean, I think it like it is tough. Our community, like the straights are tough, but like our community is really difficult as well.
Oh yeah.
Like it's like,
yeah, like back off straights. We've got our own shit that we're all dealing with.
Like we already have
let us deal with our own garbage first.
Oh man. But yeah, I mean, I feel like we've discussed a lot about Nikki in what we've seen so far. Before we wrap up, you said Nikki's going to be in season 6, which is super exciting. What are some of the things you would love to see for your character moving forward? And then also just like for yourself as an actress.
You mean besides a Nikki spinoff?
Yes.
Yes.
That's what I really want to see. I think for Nikki, there's two things I really want to see. I would love to see, and obviously it's Disney, so you can't go too far with it. And it would have to be a new character on the show because everybody else is a minor. But I would love to see Nikki even have just like one episode where she's like on a date or something. Mm-hmm. Like some sort of like somewhat of a love story. Obviously, more scenes with Raven, because when we're together is when the magic happens.
Mm-hmm.
But I would really love to see Nikki have scenes with Michael Michelle, who plays Alice, who plays Raven's niece, because she's the smartest one on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that little girl can act.
Yeah.
She's so talented and so funny. And even when you watch her in rehearsals, she walks around with her, she reads her sides off of a little kid's iPad. And the rest of us have, like, the printed script. And she walks around her little iPad. And she never misses her mark. Like, she's so... That girl is going to be one of the biggest stars in the future because she's so talented. But I think it would be so funny to see her interact with Nikki, because Nikki is... I don't want to say dumb, but she's very aloof and not the brightest. And Alice is so smart and so young. So I feel like that would be, like, comedic gold if we saw them together. Besides that, for me, personally, as an actress... I say this all the time because I'm trying to manifest this shit. So if you know anybody, call them. My gold star in my career is to be a Marvel superhero.
Nice.
I'm a nerd. I love superheroes. I love comics. It's what I've always dreamed of. I don't need to be the first. I do not need to be the first. I just want to be a superhero in the Marvel verse. I'll also be the villain. I can be the villain. I play evil very well.
Nice.
So I would love to see that.
Give us like an evil laugh, an evil catchphrase. What would we be working with here?
Oh gosh, you're putting me on the spot. What if Sarah sees this? No. We're not going.
All right. Wait on. But have you seen She-Hulk? Have you been watching that show on? I feel like She-Hulk season 2 would be if you were on it, because I'm like, I love Tatiana Maslany. She's the one who's playing She-Hulk. I feel like you could rock something in the She-Hulk universe.
I would love to. Besides that, I would also love to do. I would love to do a trans on trans love story. We rarely ever get to see that. Or even if I got to be like on Euphoria and play Hunter Schaefer's girlfriend.
Yes.
Down for that too. But my dream would be to have a film, a beautiful film made that is like a trans on trans love story.
I love that.
It could be a trans man, it could be a trans woman. I don't care. Because again, we don't really get to see that. And trans love in between us is real and very common in our community. It didn't work out for me personally, but
that's okay. Would you write it yourself or you just want to be in it?
I would write it. I've started. And
that's awesome.
Initially, it started as in the pitch deck, it was a love story between me and Zoe Kravitz.
So you're also just manifesting that.
Yeah,
you're like, so absolutely. I'm just going to keep writing things. I got my best friend. Now let me see who I want my love interest to be.
Yeah. Do you have like a special book that you're writing these in that we need to know about?
It's clearly working.
I know, right?
There are only so many trans roles written. And the majority of those aren't even written by trans people, at least the ones that get greenlit. So I have to start just creating my own things of what I want to be in and see. Obviously, I can't create a superhero role for myself because I want to be a Marvel, but I can create love stories for myself. I want to do a rom-com. I want to do a really dark, depressing indie film. Like, I want to do it all. But at the rate Hollywood's going, I'm going to have to write that shit myself.
Yeah,
but while you're saying that though, tell us a little bit, because you have a bunch of stuff that coming up. Like, we've read your bio at the top. You got like a million things coming out.
The ones that I'm legally contractually allowed to share. Yes, I still have more episodes on Raven's Home. My favorite episode is coming up, the one where we go to the fashion factory with Donna Cabana, but specifically because Mario Cantone is in that episode. For those who don't know who Mario Cantone is, he is one of the funniest actors I've ever seen on TV. Everybody knows him from Sex and the City and Just Like That. He's hilarious. He's comedic gold. So there's that. American Gigolo has already started airing. I play Zoe, who is nothing like Nikki. She's living on the streets in Venice with her pit bull and is a cutter, and she's the darker side of the
Sure.
And then I'm really excited for the Blumhouse film. It's called Absolute Dominion, which I think comes out early next year. It's not a horror film. Everybody assumes it's horror because it's Blumhouse. But it's actually like this like futuristic world where, you know, most of the society has torn itself apart because of religion. There's a fighter that represents each religion. There's a giant tournament. Whoever wins that tournament, the entire world is forced to give up their beliefs and take on the fighter's beliefs. It's like the religious Hunger Games, basically. Mm. But that is why I was in Nevada for 2 months, miserable. So that's coming out, and I'm excited to see that. And then hopefully be in the following two, because it's supposed to be like a 3-part film series. Luckily, I didn't die in the first one, so that's a good start.
The odds are a little bit better for you.
The odds are much better for me. So yeah, so keep watching Disney, keep watching Raven's Home. Nikki's back for season 6 and she still has more episodes on season 5. And then follow me on Instagram for when I announce the projects that I'm allowed, whenever I'm allowed to announce them. And until then, light a candle, say a prayer that Marvel calls. Whatever you do, whatever you believe in, whoever you believe in.
Do you have anyone in mind? Like, who would you want to play?
I feel like it would have to be a new character.
A new one? Okay.
But also, like, it doesn't have to be a trans character either. You know,
it does not. It would be amazing to be a trans character, but it does not need to be a trans character. I'll take any character. I just want to be a Marvel. I want to wear the suit. The other project I really want to be in, I don't know if you guys have watched it, it's Sandman on Netflix, based off a comic book. There is a trans character that comes in season 2, if they get renewed for season 2, which I imagine they will because their numbers were insane. I would love to play that character. Maybe I should start tweeting people.
Yeah, just start the campaigns. We got this going. All right, so before we wrap up, we're just going to do a quick Q&A, which is just multiple choice, yes or no questions. We're going to ask you and we put them on our Twitter for our listeners. Are you ready?
Q and gay.
Question number one. What's your Raven show? A, That's So Raven, or B, Raven's Home? Tough question. Tough question.
That's So Raven.
Whisper it. That's So Raven is classic, but I do have a soft spot in my heart for Raven's Home as well. It still has all of the, like, the beautiful parts that made That's So Raven so great.
It does, which is why I love it, and which is why I think so people still watch it, because it's not mm-hmm. just kids watching it, it's our generation still watching it.
Oh yeah, I watch it. Like, I have been watching it.
It's still funny. Raven is still hilarious. We obviously tackle some topics without being, like, too extreme. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I totally get it. I love Raven's Home. I love being a part of it. It's a dream come true. But That's So Raven is what started it all. So
oh, yeah. Understandable.
I mean, it's a classic. You can't go wrong. I know. Question two, Juliana. What are your dreams for Nikki next season out of A, more costumes, B, romance, or C, being better at her job?
Definitely not C.
No one wants that.
That would make my job as an actor more difficult. I'm just kidding. It's much easier when I can just be bad at my job. Definitely not C. I would love to see romance. Again, a little complicated on Raven's Home because everybody's a minor. Yeah. So we would have to introduce someone new. And then definitely more costumes. I want to wear all the disguises. I want to live in a fantasy world.
All right. Question number three. What early Disney Channel show did you dream of being on? A, That's So Raven. B, Even Stevens. C, Lizzie McGuire. Or D, Wizards of Waverly Place.
That's So Raven.
You're living the dream.
I'm literally living my dream. Lizzie McGuire is a close second.
That's fair. You're going to notice these might all be a little biased for your answers. That's okay.
I was going to say.
Well, it's because we want to get your answers on the record, but we're also going to put them up on our Twitter for all of our listeners to answer. So question four, no bias here. What's your favorite kids, young adult, trans rep on TV right now out of A, Raven's Home, B, Dead End Paranormal Park, or C, Owl House?
Raven's Home.
Good. No bias here.
No bias. All right. Question number five. Which Marvel character do you want to play? A, Squirrel Girl. B, Amora the Enchantress. C, Moondragon. Or D, Gwenpool.
Listen, I want you to know that I did really quick have to look up who are Marvel characters who have not yet debuted in the MCU. So I'm just giving you some options. You don't even need to know anything about the characters. Just pick, like, the coolest name.
I mean, Amora the Enchantress sounds dope.
Right?
Yeah.
It does sound dope. I will say, though, just as like some context, as I scrolled by the characters in this list, Moondragon is the one where they say that they think that they'll never premiere her in the MCU because she's too gay for Disney's red state friendly sensibilities. So just throwing that out there. I don't know who any of these characters are personally, but yeah.
Can you really ever be too gay, though? You know what I mean?
Like, for our sensibilities? Never.
Yeah.
The limit does not exist.
Does not exist. Incredible.
Oh my gosh, imagine if Nikki came out as lesbian. People would die.
People would flip.
Oh my God. Literally, you're putting, like, parents in red states, like, just, they'd lose their minds. I think they would just sort of, like, keel over.
24/7 security.
Yeah. Not good.
Do it.
Oh God.
Do it.
Be beautiful.
Make her gay, you cowards.
Yes. Thank you so much for hanging out with us this entire episode, for all of our listeners. Remember, you can give us your own answers to this episode's Q&A questions on our Twitter @LesHangoutPod. Juliana, where can our listeners find you? You said follow you on Instagram, but what is your handle? How can they follow you on Instagram?
My Instagram is at the Juliana Joel, J-O-L.
Perfect. Thank you so much. This was so great. We're so happy to meet you.
Thank you. No, it was a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Let me hear you say hip, 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 we're gay.
We love hearing from you. We love continuing to build this community. And we just like to shout out some of our favorite things every episode. And we want to start. I know we talked a lot about Halloween costumes at the top of the episode. So we just want to shout specifically because, you know, people sent us some of their costumes and stuff. We just want to shout out Maggie. We've shouted you out before. But listen, you think we're not going to shout out Cruella and Ripley costumes? Like, please, just incredible. Costumes looked great. Super, super happy to see them. Please always send us all of your costumes. We love it. Halloween or not, just like send us whatever, you know.
Yeah, whatever you're wearing. Whatever you're wearing, just send it.
Yeah.
Love it.
You know.
Also on our TikTok, we've said this before, but I'm loving all the comments. So we did a Should Have Been Gay on Bennett Like Beckham. And so many people, first of all, many people commented like, wait, I thought this was actually a gay movie.
Yes.
It is not.
The collective amnesia that we seem to have around this movie is incredible.
Like, it is, quote unquote, but, like, it's not, everyone. Like, it's not canonically queer. We just see it as such, and so did you, which we understand. So here's a comment. I watched this when I was 8 or 9. I remember it being gay? Question mark. Interesting. From at why am I on this app 2325. And I understand. But, yeah, you were just projecting what you wanted to see. And so are we. We get
it. So true. You weren't wrong. Yeah. We always want to thank our Lesbian Jesus patrons, Mark Foster,
Tanya Ferguson,
Jacqueline Rose Nishino,
Sarah and Julia,
Alana Rosen,
Lizette Stye,
A.D. Benitez,
and Fiona W.
And our King Princess patrons, Amy and Ellen,
Julia Gonzalez,
Leah Hendley,
and Andrea Doucette.
Thank you all so much. We could not keep making this podcast without all of your support and all of our support from all of our patrons. Just, you're all the best. We love you all so much.
Remember, you can also find us on all the social medias, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Les Hangout Pod.
You can email us at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
Or check out our website at leshangoutpod.com.
Whatever app you use to listen to podcasts, make sure that you subscribe. That way you'll get new episodes as soon as they go up.
We also post videos on our YouTube channel, so make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/leshangoutpod to catch them.
Les Hangout is an independently produced podcast. It's hosted by us with audio production by Ellie. Our production assistant is Krista Murison. Many various other things get done by me.
If you want to support our little independent team, you can rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to the podcast. It really helps other people find the show and tell them, hey, this is actually a good show. You should listen. So do it.
If you want to help support us financially, one easy way to do that is to join our Patreon. You get access to ad-free episodes, all of our Les Essentials viewing parties. You can join our Discord chat where we have so much fun. We have so many channels in our Discord chat right now. Lots of stuff going on. And it's just a blast. And it helps us continue making this show. So if you want to do that, you can join at bit.ly/lespatreon.
If you want to get some Les Hangout merch, you can get that at bit.ly/lesshop. We also are retiring one of our designs, which is our lesbian fandom tote bag tee. So if you want to get that, you've got to get it this week because it is going away. And that's at bit.ly/lesshop.
And remember, we have a queer production company making queer podcast musicals with guaranteed happy endings that you can find everywhere at Dollar Bean Prod.
Or at our website, dollarbeanproductions.com.
You can listen to all of the episodes of our first show, The Flame, on any podcasting app.
And if you want to help us support us in making more musicals, you can join our Patreon at bit.ly/dollarbeanpatreon.
If you want to follow us individually, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Ellie Brigida. With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee. And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out.